Hi, this is Sedge Thompson. Welcome to this special audio highlights podcast from West Coast Live. For more information about our shows and other guests and podcasts, wcl.org. First, I got to know my next guest when she was living on a houseboat in Sausalito and then later living in a house just up the road here in the deepest, darkest redwoods of Mill Valley. And she's become, you know, the outstanding best-selling author of Some Assembly Required, Grace, Traveling Mercies, Operating Instructions, and a new book. And I just want to read she backstage making faces. She likes to do that. What is she doing back there? Anyway, I'm grateful she's here today. Anyway, so this is a little bit from her new book. Gratitude begins in our hearts and the dovetails into behavior. It almost always makes you willing to be of service, which is where the joy resides. It means you are willing to stop being such a jerk. When you are aware of all that has been given to you in your lifetime and in the past few days, it is hard not to be humbled and pleased to give back. Wow. This is from Help, Thanks, Wow, Some Simple Prayers. Please welcome Anne Lamott to West Coast Live. Yeah, why don't you sit down? Hi, Grandma.
Hi. Hi, it's great to be here. I've been on the road for a month, and I'm a little funny.
Is that funny as an odd or funny as in hilarious? You've been working on your material.
Funny as an odd. But I want to say Carl and Carl is the greatest act in America. The greatest act in America. And I also want to say hi to Mary Turnbull, but I couldn't find her, and I signed 160 copies of the book for her because I can't. Today is the day of the sacrament of the gingerbread house, and I have hundreds of pots of icing in various colors waiting for me. And but I wanted to see Mary Turnbull before I left. The book depot's here.
Yeah.
I was in. I thought of you. Do you have some relationship to Minnesota?
I have a family who is from Minnesota, in a little town called Minnetonka outside of Minneapolis.
Yeah, I think I remember that. Well, I was in L.A. on Monday, where it was 75 degrees, so I had the cute purple tank top, and I was in Minneapolis the next morning, Tuesday, where at night it was 3 degrees. And of course, I'm more sensitive than the average bear, so 3 degrees for me would probably feel like 25 degrees to somebody like yourself, who's not quite as sensitive as I am. But it, you know, of course, it was a nightmare, and I thought there'd at least be elk, but
or moose.
Well, I was hoping for elk, but it turns out the elk are all at the border. Like I think it's come sort of like a survivalist thing now. They're just at the border of Canada. It's kind of a Mark Furman thing, like Sandstone, Idaho. And then someone told me that there would be moose eye around, and I would know because they have very foul breath. Because they live on pine cones. But what you think, pine needles, you'd think those would give you delicious breath, but they don't. But and still,
I mean, it's like those, you know, pine scent or pine scrub or something.
Yeah, I guess
you
know, Pine sol.
My son Samuel, when on an excursion to Alaska a couple of winters ago, found moose in a particular place with a guide, and they were enjoying organic bananas.
Oh, that's wild. Well, I didn't see any moose either, no moose, no elk. But then I got to come home. Then I went to San Mateo at rush hour last night in the rain, so that was festive. And so I'm a little bit bitter right now. And my feet hurt. I have arthritis in my hand and my vision's failing, but I did get new glasses recently. I get them every 3 years, although I need them every 2 years. Do you need a new prescription every 2 years? I need one every 2 years, but I get them every 3 years because if you go in every 2 years, it admits failure and defeat. So I have slight headaches and I can't read the road signs. And I start to channel my mom, like Mr. Magoo driving, you know, and stopping in the street to look up and read the street signs. And then my optometrist says, Annie, why don't you just come in every 2 years? You always need a stronger prescription. She says, it looks like defeat.
Why does it look like defeat? I mean, and otherwise, I think you should have a sign in your car that says, warning, old prescription, you know?
Warning, Mr. Magoo. Yeah. But anyway, so I have great new glasses.
I just want to have new glasses. I want to have the crispest vision I can.
I know, it's so great. And then when I got them, I said, God, these are so, I felt like Helen Keller, you know? And I go, this is so great. And he said, well, see, what if we make a deal that you come in 2 years from now? I said, nah, no, thank you.
When I had to get glasses when a science teacher in grade school, I guess I was in eighth grade, yeah. It was time to read the caption on the film strip. Yeah. And she knew that I could read. And I was going, molecule, you know, and yeah. She said, I think you need to go get your eyes checked. And I went and I eventually got glasses, and I was riding in the car with my mother, and I started crying because I could read street signs.
I've written about you and your glasses.
Have?
And I was able to get glasses because you were a boy, weren't you, like seventh grade, did you say?
Yeah,
eighth grade. And I asked you, when I got them about 10 years ago, and I said, what was it like when you got glasses? You said, well, I was in eighth grade, and I loved them. I could see. I wept. And that was the reason I got them. And a lot of my friends who are my age and older will not get them because it looks like you're getting older. Like, ha-ha, not really. But so the men, so they're always fishing around in their purses for glasses. And so the men, the husbands, end up having to wear the women's reading glasses, like their Dame Edna glasses at nice restaurants because of their pride. Whereas I wake up in the morning, I put my glass on, and I feel like, thank you, Lord. I can see. Yeah.
Yeah. I did carry them around. I wore them in class, and then I carried them around in the glasses case between classes. And then when I kept knocking into people, I just said, okay, I got to wear these all the time. But they were uglier then.
Yeah,
I
mean, yeah. Now you can. Now they're a huge fashion accessory. But they were very nerdy back then. But now nerdy costs about $500 to get a cute nerdy glass. Yeah. But
anyway. And then you go for progressive and anti-reflection coatings, and oh my God. That'll be $1,200, Mr. Thompson.
See, that's like you cried in seventh grade. I cried about 6 weeks ago. I wept like a baby when I saw the bill.
But aren't you then appreciative that think about people who were 200 years ago who couldn't have glasses.
I know. Well, no, at first I wept. And then I said to the people, I said, you know, no matter what these glasses called, I would be ecstatic to pay it. Because I know I'm going to put them on in the morning, and I'm going to see tiny little writing on aspirin bottles, and I'm going to see the street signs. And it's possible that I will not kill anyone today because I can't read street signs. And that's a start, you know?
What did you find touring around? Did people have kind of universal reactions to your book and the idea of simple prayer, or was it, did you find things in different parts of the country that people responded to or rejected in what you wrote?
No, I think because this book is, it's sort of like a bird by bird distillation, but instead of being about everything useful I know about writing, which is that unfortunately you just have to sit down and write at some point. That's like the fly in the ointment. But and that it won't go well, and that no one knows what they're doing. And the people that you love most as writers are writing bad drafts also. But I just want to write stuff that wasn't heavy. I'm not trying to convert anyone. I think people are praying a lot without knowing they're praying, or even if they would never admit that they're praying, they're reaching a point of, you know, somehow against all odds letting go. And, you know, I've always said everything I let go of has claw marks on it. And so it's not like a perfect system of spiritual evolution where also, you know, people always, this is so annoying, people will say, well, let go and let God. And I think I said in the book, I just want to stab them in the forehead, you know, because it's so aggressive to say that to someone. And if I could let go, believe me, I would let go. And it's like when people say, well, no worries. And I feel like, oh, don't get me started, you know. But anyway, people find, you know, it's humiliating in this modern era to be a Christian. And to so I try to kind of downplay that just a little. Because when you think of Christian, you don't think Thomas Merton and Mother Teresa and Dorothy Day. And, you know, you think Sarah Palin. And you think Mike Huckabee. You think there's going to be a test of fire if you vote wrong this time. It's like, oh, thank you, Mike Huckabee. And I'm too nice to point out he has regained most of the weight he lost. As a Christian, I am too... I don't even notice. Don't even notice. But no, people don't... People want to talk about... People want to talk about that it's very scary. It's a very scary world. It's it's Advent. It's dark. There's very little light. It gets dark at by about 4:30. It's scary. The world has never been a harder place to bear up under, and yet the light will return. It really will. It's scheduled to. And normally, I don't approve of December. I don't really recognize it as legitimate calendar time, but... And if I were God's West Coast representative, I would skip it. I would say we will go to the day after Thanksgiving directly to July 3rd. Or January 3rd, I meant. But anyway...
You make it sound like seventh grade.
I know. But so I have tiny unresolved acceptance issues. But anyway, working on those. But people want to talk about how do we come through. Families are so damaged. People's kids are so scary. They're so wonderful at 8 and they're scary at 12. I mean, no one needs more prayers than the parents of teenagers, you know. And the great prayer is help. Help means you've run out of great ideas. You've run out of any more suggestions. Your kids are not interested in your opinions on things. Not only are they not interested, A, you're a total embarrassment, and secondly, they find you annoying. But yet, at the same time, you're here to protect your kids and help them make good choices. And
even though they say, no, I don't want to hear what you have to say.
Well, then you can send them to your room if they cross you. That's important. That... Punishment and consequence is, and kind of punishment, consequence, bribes, and threats are the still the main tools in the toolbox of the modern parent. But
which do you find using more often when you grasp for that tools? Although Sam is now no longer a teenager.
Yeah, Sam is 23. I still think the two most effective things are to try to control and manipulate people into behaving the way that you think would make everybody happiest. And the second thing is first to try to figure out who to blame. And then once you figured out who is at fault, then to try to correct and manipulate them into behaving differently so that you can have a good day. I would say that's the basis of my spirituality. But that is left with my own device, left to my own devices. And because I have an inkling of the presence of an intelligence greater than or wilder or more loving than my own, I mean, I could call God not me. And because I believe in this and live by this, I'm not always left to my own devices. So that's our only hope, that we're not, you know, that we can ask for help, that we pick up the 2,000-pound phone. In most great movies, much of literature and in great movies, you get to the point where the hip, slick, and cool and powerful hero or heroine has had a moment of clarity where they realize the complete madness of their best thinking and the damage that they have done to everyone that's come in contact with them, the damage they've done to children, and maybe that is enough for them to stop the train and to take a long, deep breath and to say, God help me, whether or not they believe in God or not. And that's the point of surrender. If you have older brother, I have an older brother, surrender is defeat, right? Because you surrender, your older brother's going to rub your face in the dirt and take your pillow. But surrender in the spiritual sense means you just give up. You realize you have a disease of good ideas, and it just makes you crazier and sicker than you already were, and you're done. And to get to the point of being done, to me, is the great miracle. Yeah.
What's the 2,000-pound phone?
The 2,000-pound phone means that the miracle of this culture and society at large is that not everybody is nuts on the same day. And and if you call around, you will find somebody who's still got their wits about them. And you start to explain the latest system of consequence, punishment, and manipulation that you are about to wreak on your child or employer or whatever, and they say, oh, I'm so glad you called. Then you know you're in trouble. And then because it's so hard to pick up the phone and bust yourself When you know you're crazy, when you know you're just mad and you're fearful and you're mad, and so you're trying to control. That's what our natural reaction to fear is to try to control. We can't control. You know, what I can control is on this side of my palm, and I'm holding my hand up about 3 inches from my face, and what I can't control is everything on the outside of my palm. It's very frustrating, and it doesn't mean I'm still not going to try to control and fix and save and rescue as my default reaction to all of life. But it means that if I pick up the phone and I call someone, I'm gently agreeing to be busted. And they'll go, oh, honey, you sound like you're really sad, or you're really mad, or you just feel like you're really stuck. Do you want to come over? Do you want to go for a walk? Do you have sufficient chocolate? Do you
want some toast?
Can I make you a nice piece of toast? And then that love is sufficient for almost all healing that I've experienced in my life.
How did you cope with the events of yesterday in Connecticut? You've written a little something about it, I think.
I wrote a piece on Facebook this morning about Advent and about it. I actually quoted some passages from Some Assembly Required that we read. Sam and I came and read in March on your show. And about that, it is cold and it is bleak and it is hopeless. And no one here has any good ideas, and no one knows what on earth the healing and the resurrection is going to look like. But I can say 100% of the time in my experience, people come back up to life. And people, you know, it's going to be months, maybe years, till the parents can even bear to even still be alive. And then they will. And they will be surrounded by the heartbreaking love of the community and the great community, and the love will pool at their feet, and after a while they will be able to breathe again, and after a very long while they'll be able to see children again. And what will help them is other parents who have lost their children, who have come through. You know, people can't be more injured than they were yesterday. They can't. It's an atom bomb, a nuclear bomb. And it's impossible with our mortal minds to imagine that you could ever be even semi-okay again, or to be glad to be alive again. But they will. We know that from past experience. We know that they will lay on the ground in the fetal position, literally and figuratively, for a very long time. And then life will come, and it will reach down a hand and pull them up. And they will get back to their feet. And they will be barely walking for a long time. And then they will be breathing again. We know that from history. So it's sort of a decision. And also, one thing I wanted to write is, because it's so devastating and mind-blowing, like 9/11 was, that one thing that is very familiar that we return to is criticizing ourselves, you know, in the face of this very unfamiliar new world. A new world came into being yesterday with 20 children slaughtered. In the face of that, what we do is we automatically go home, which is to mean we become critical of ourselves. That means mom and dad may be nearby. And we start to judge and withhold. And that is a very, very familiar and comforting thing to do, unless you become too well to do that anymore. I start to criticize myself. Is it okay to watch TV endlessly? You know what, everyone? It's okay to watch TV endlessly if that's what you want to do. Is it okay to completely ignore the news and to try to get through the weekend without the TV? It's completely okay. It's okay to laugh again. It's okay not to get out of bed. Whatever it takes to get through the next few days is exactly right. And we're going to be there for each other as we can be. And sometimes it's too awful to feel the love and solidarity of the people that we're closest to. It's like that great William Blake line, that we're here to endure the beams of love. And so even as people who are devastated in so many ways by what happened, we are still finding out how there we are for each other, and how we're all in the same boat, and that we have a common and shared humanity, and that it's okay to politicize this. It's okay not to politicize this. It's okay to say it's too soon to politicize this. It's okay to take to the streets with placards. It's okay. So it's about having a new base camp instead of the one where what you think to do or what you end up doing is wrong. It's not. There's no operating instructions for this, except that we're going to try to stick together and love one another. And it's okay to laugh here and there. It's okay to overeat. It's okay not to be able to eat. It's okay to be stunned and to have no good ideas. I would say any good ideas anyone has this weekend, we'll just put them aside and revisit them middle of next week. So that's what I wanted to say, was that we are going to get through this weekend, and then it's Advent, and the light will return, and it will return for the families. Your heart, our collective heart is broken, broken, broken. And Leonard Cohen says there's cracks in everything, and that's how the light gets in. But this is like, you know, those things that break up pavements. What are they called? Jackhammers. This is like a jackhammer, and the light will pour in, and the pain will pour in, and the compassion and the response and the generosity and the self-righteousness and the all of it. We haven't seen anything yet. And it's going to all pour in, and we're going to just stick together, and we're going to get each other cups of tea, and would you like a piece of toast, and I can come over if you need me, and it's going to be sufficient. I want to leave time for the musicians to come on, though.
I know, you're always very gracious about that.
But they're so fantastic, and so let's just make sure that they have time to do their last song.
So the title of the book, I mean, do we need to get the whole book? I mean, because it says here, the three essential prayers, help, thanks, wow.
Right, right. You don't really need to get the whole book at all. Help, thanks, wow. Another great prayer is hi, to just say hi. And another great prayer, a prayer to say to God, I hate you. This makes no sense. What happened in Newtown makes no sense. I hate you. I hate your system. It's all a crock. That's a prayer. That might be the first honest thought you've had in months. You know, talking to something that is not your own wounded, damaged ego and narcissism and self-loathing is a prayer. Prayer is very private, and prayer is based on truth. But help, thanks, wow, begins a conversation. I mean, it's not going to lead instantly to union with the divine intelligence and the pulse of love that some of us dare to call God. But, you know, to say help. To go around with the attitude of being grateful and to be going around going, oh my God, thank you, thank you. To step outside and to say, wow. To step outside tonight as a radical act and to get yourself off the couch and away from the TV and to look up at the starry night and to say, wow. You don't go outside and look up at the stars and go, well, it's kind of a medium starry night tonight. You know, every single time you get outside to look at the stars, you feel that sense of wonder, your mouth drops open, or you might even start to laugh and you say, wow. So this is where it be. I don't say to God, hi, God, help. But I will say to God, hi, it's all hopeless. I'm completely nuts. I hate everyone. I hate me, and I don't know where to begin. And I think God goes, God, how amazing. Well, let's look at that. Have you eaten? This is usually what Jesus says in the New Testament. The whole New Testament is Jesus saying, look, two ideas I have. One, get all the thirsty people you see a nice glass of water. And the second thing is Jesus also saying, listen, have you eaten? Because you all seem a little off. And what I'm thinking is that we'll go get the thirsty people water, and then we'll all meet on the beach for a little fish. And then you get a little bit better because you've eaten and you've been fed. You've been fed. Maybe you were the hungry, not for the fish so much as to be fed.
Well, thank you for coming out. There was something about when you were talking about attachment. I realized we've got our kind of an ad hoc family motto in our family, which is come out of one asking people to wait for us because we're not quite ready, and the other has to deal with kind of enduring things, and it's hold on, you know, and it's like, come on, it's time to go, hold on,
right,
and
right,
the other,
right.
And the other thing is that you realize it's also about trying to hold together as a family. You got to hold on, and then, well, anyway, hey,
that's
Annie Lamott.
That's what we're going to do is we collectively are going to hold on as a family and get through the weekend together.
Thank you. Annie Lamott, thank you. This is Edge Thompson. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Try out others from West Coast Live right here, and we look forward to having you in one of our audiences one day. For more information, wcl.org.